Psalm 142. I'm going to read two verses together, Psalm 142, verses 3 and 4, reading from the King James Bible. Psalm 142, verses 3 and 4. My wife decided to get right with God and came back home, amen. Thank you, everybody, for praying for my wife, amen. Psalm 142, verses 3 and 4. Let's read together, shall we? When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. That's probably one of the saddest statements in the whole Bible. No man cared for my soul. I'm going to talk to you this morning about God cares. God cares. Dear God, thank you again for loving us, for being such a merciful, loving God, for being such a patient God, a long-suffering God. Thank you, dear God, that you were thinking about us before we ever thought about you. And I thank you, dear God, that you sent someone to knock on our heart's door to reconcile us back to thee. Now, dear God, please bless this morning's sermon, this message. Speak to our hearts, our Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Psalm 142, verses 3 and 4. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. As I said, that's one of the saddest statements in the entire Bible. When you get to the point where you think or you believe that no man cares for you, that's a sad state of affairs. I'm going to talk to you this morning about God cares. I want you to listen to me. I hope and I pray that I believe this will be a help, but I need you to pay attention. A couple things first. In order for you to understand that God cares about you, I'm going to go through a list of things, and then we're going to turn some scriptures. God cares because he has given us his word for guidance, for counsel, for direction, for help, for wisdom, and for knowledge. God cares about us, and he proved it, number one, by giving us the word of God. And I'll show you in a little bit. God cares because he answers our prayers according to his will. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it'll be open. If you ask, it'll be given. He cares because he gives us a body of believers, a church body, to encourage and help one another. You're not going to get this kind of help or encouragement from the world. Number four, he cares because he always gives us a way of escape with any temptation that comes in our lives, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. With every temptation that you go through, I want you to know something, God cares. He's made a way of escape for every temptation. Number five, he cares because he always gives us power to overcome anything and everything in times of weakness. He cares because he sent some soul winner to us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. He cares because he sends us out to the lost to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost people. Amen. Take your Bible, please, with me. Turn to Psalm 138, please. We're going to start here, Psalm 138. That God cares. Now, I want to be careful how I say this, but I don't know how else to say it. Too often, God's people think God is up in heaven. When you hear a sermon that says God loves you or God cares about you, he's up in heaven, and just, you almost have this, as I said the other night,
this combination of the Pillsbury Doughboy, Santa Claus, and some fat slob, just, you know, just a jolly good fellow up there just saying, oh, I love you, and that's about it. Or I care about you and has wonderful thoughts about you. But that's not the God of the Bible. God cares about you enough to give you the Word of God to help you out in times of trouble. So he's not a God up there separated away from us, from our lives, and not knowing what goes on in our lives. God knows. He knows the number of hairs on your head, the Bible says. He notices every time a bird falls from the sky. He's not going to know the problems and the heartaches and the burdens that you have. He does. He cares. And the number one way that God shows that he cares, he's given us the Word of God. So that we could have something tangible, something physical, to know exactly how God cares about us and what we can do to deal with our problems.
Psalm 138, verse number 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
Now, there's no greater name than the name of Jesus, amen. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. The Bible is very clear about that. But you listen to me very good today. God has put his word above his own name. Because anybody can praise the name of Jesus. And anybody can praise the name of God the Father, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But when you put the Word of God where God himself puts it, then you can have ready help available at any moment's notice. He's not some spirit in the God that's separated from us like an Indian spirit or a Native American spirit that we, you know, that we, like an Eastern religious kind of thing. God is a God who is available through his very word. I don't think we understand how important the very word of God is in our lives this morning. God's given us a word to, his word to teach us how to live, how to be saved, how to love God, how to deal with life and all of its difficulties. So God is a very present help in times of trouble, ladies and gentlemen, through the very word of God. He says here, God himself has magnified thy word above all thy name. And God's got many names in the Bible. You know, it's like the Jehovah's false witnesses. They make a big thing about God's name being Jehovah. I got news for you. That's one of God's names. One. But I got more important news. The word of God is higher than the name of Jehovah. They don't even have the right book. Well, you don't have the right book, your life is going to be messed up. If you don't have the right King, if you don't have the King James Bible, ladies and gentlemen, you do not have the Word of God, and God cannot help you the way He wants to help you if you don't have His Word. God puts His Word first so that God can tell you, I can help you in this situation because this is what I've written. I'm glad that we have a church that cares about people. Caring means that you sympathize and even empathize with others. Realizing it is only by the grace of God that you are not where they are. When someone is hurting, we ought to hurt. People are hurting and they're sick. They have health problems, surgery, disability. They have family problems, marital problems, relationship problems, problems with their children. They have financial problems. They've just been laid off. They're going to get laid off. They're losing their house. They can't pay their bills. They now have lousy credit. They're going bankrupt. The pressures of life and the burdens of life are bearing down on them. They have personal problems. They're either caught up with drugs or alcohol or gambling. Death has visited their home or their relatives or their friends. Maybe they're caught up with the consequences of their own sin. Because believe me, the sin will take you farther than you thought it was going to go. The unintended consequences of sin. People are reaping what they've sown. People live a life of sin. They live a life of lies. And it will all eventually catch up with them. Whether it's a life of crime, you ought to go look in the prisons, in the jails, and see the end result of people who thought they could get away with crime and being unruly. Now they have a record, no driver's license, no car. But you and I are commanded to have an understanding heart. You and I are commanded to have compassion on them. You and I are commanded to love them. That's why we have jail ministries and prison ministries. That's why we have hospital visitation. That's why we have family counseling or people who are suicidal or homicidal. People are on the verge of just giving up. People have been betrayed. People have been hurt. People have been used. Say, God, I can't take this no more. Well, I got news for you. God cares. You say, no man cares for my soul. Yeah, but God cares. God cares. If you open your Bible, you're going to find out how much God cares about you individually. I don't care what you're going through right now, what you've been through, what you're going to go through. I want you to remember something. God cares. More so than anyone else, God cares. My Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to perish because he cares about everybody. John 3:16 is a very famous verse. We've memorized it. For God so loved the world, how did he love the world? That he gave his only begotten son. Because he didn't want anybody to perish. He wants to give everybody everlasting life. So God proves his love. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter number 5, please. Romans chapter number 5. God proves his love. God proves that he cares about people. How? He shows you how much he cares through the word of God to prove how much he cares. Romans chapter number 5. Verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us. That means God showed his love. He revealed his love. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So even though we were far away from God, even though we were running away from God, even though we were sinning against God, God still cared about us. And so how did God care about us? He sent his only son to die in our place. So it's not just a God who is separated and away from us, who doesn't know what's going on. God knows very intimately what's going on in our lives. He knows every deal. He knows more about your lives and my life than you and I know about our lives. God cares, ladies and gentlemen. And the only way you're going to know that God cares is through the word of God that reveals how much God cares about you. And if you don't read the word of God, you're going to come out thinking nobody cares. But I want to remind you that God cares. I want you to know God cares. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, the Bible says. The people who laugh at God and mock at God and rebel against God, God doth not have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, the Bible says. You may not care. You may say good riddance. You may say, I don't really give a flip. Well, God cares. You flippantly say, I don't care, but God cares. So I don't care what goes on over there. Well, God cares. God cares. My Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119, verse 165. Somebody hurt your feelings. Well, you ought to care about the person who hurts your feelings more than you care about your own feelings. Somebody said something about me. Somebody said something to me. They really hurt me. They've been really nasty to me. You have no idea what they said to me. If you cared about them, then you would pray for them and love them and try to help them. Because whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Too many people are walking around thinking nobody cares about them. Your job, my job, is telling them God cares. And I might tell you something. God uses people to show other people that God cares about them. Now, God's not going to sit up in heaven and all of a sudden give them some dream or some vision or reveal himself in some audible voice. No, God uses people to reach other people, ladies and gentlemen. And God's going to use people who care about others to reach people who think nobody cares about them. And by the way, you don't know what people are thinking. You don't know what they're going through. They may not reveal everything to you. You have no idea what's going on inside in their heart and their minds. You don't know the turmoil that's going on. You don't know their past history. You don't know what happened to them when they were younger. You don't know all the baggage or the skeletons in their closet. And I don't want to know it. But I know God knows. So if I can introduce them to the God who cares about them, God can fill the void that no man can. My Bible says in Psalm 55, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. Well, the only way you're going to find that out is because that's what God said in his word. So give it all to God. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter number 11. The Gospel of Matthew chapter number 11. The Bible says in Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God says, be careful for nothing. You're so nervous and worrying about things that may never happen, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to know something. If you've got problems or heartaches or pressures and burdens, God cares. God cares. Matthew chapter number 11. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. This verse is not for lazy people that aren't doing anything. These verses and scriptures are for people who are working hard, they're tired, they got problems, they got pressures. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hey, don't you want all those burdens and pressures taken off of you? Why don't you give them to Jesus? Because even when people will fail you and don't want to understand what you're going through, Jesus will understand, amen. You understand, he took all of our sins and all of our sorrows, the Bible says, on that cross. And you and I, as a child of God, ought to sympathize and empathize with people who are at places and times in life where you and I maybe not. But for the grace of God, we'd be there. And some of you have been there. You know what I'm talking about. You've been at places, in times in your life, you thought nobody cared about you. You thought there was no hope for you. There was no joy in life, no peace in life. And then Jesus came, amen. No man can give you peace. No doctor can write you a prescription for peace. But Dr. Jesus can. Because you know why? He cares about you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. 1 Peter 5 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5, 7, God cares for you. He says, just come to God. You know what? You're sharing all your dirty laundry and all your problems with people that are a bunch of gossipers instead of going to God. Then you get mad at the person you told all your personal stuff to, tells everybody else, and advertise it, and gossips about it, because you didn't do what God said to do in his word. Go to God. Give it to God. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. Right before or right after Hebrews. James chapter number 1. Verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Instead of struggling with your temptation, you ought to be excited and say, God, how are you going to get me out of this now? God, you're the God of all power. He said he'd give you power. Jesus has all power, he said in Matthew 28. He said, all power is given unto me. And it's available for everybody. But we don't go to God. We don't go to God in the Word of God. We don't go to God in the prayer closet. We don't look for God for all of our heartaches and burdens and problems and all of our difficulties. You know what James says? My brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know who has patience? People going through heartaches and burdens. Young people don't have patience. I can't take this anymore. And just walk out like a baby. You know why? When you have disaster strike and you go through that, you'll learn patience. Look what it says, verse number 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. All right, so you have a heartache. So you have a burden. So you have a problem. Go to God. Go through the word of God. Go to a prayer closet. Ask God for wisdom, who give it to all men liberally and abradeth not. Verse number 5, we're right there, by the way. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. So God cares enough for you to give you wisdom when you ask for it. God cares about you enough that if you lack wisdom or knowledge, he'll give it to you right in the word of God. God cares about you enough that if you lack power to overcome any sin or any temptation, God gives it to you. It's available through the word of God. But here's what happens. You don't go to the prayer closet. You don't go to the word of God. And then you're going to get in trouble. And you're going to say, you know what? Nobody cares. God doesn't even care. Where's God when I need him? Right here in the word of God. Where is God when I need him the most? Right here in the word of God, in the King James Bible. In the King James Bible. Verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Look at verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Psalm 62 verse 8 says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before God, before him. John 14, 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Are you enjoying the word of God? Are you enjoying the way of God? If you're enjoying it, God says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You may think nobody else cares, but I want you to know God cares. And let me just say, on the flip side of that, I'm going to say more about it tonight, but God cares about what's going on in the degeneration of our country. God's concerned about the destruction of our country. People walk around and say, I don't care. Well, God cares. You're supposed to be the light of the world. You're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Jesus is the light of the world, but we're supposed to be lights shining in darkness, amen? And you and I are supposed to be concerned about what's going on. You and I are supposed to be caring what's going on in our society. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 16, please. Proverbs 16. God said in Psalm 40, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. The Lord thinketh upon me. Do you know God's thinking about you right now? Amen. I say God is thinking about you right now. When you weren't thinking about God, God was thinking about you. When you were in jail, in prison, going through detox, wiped out on drugs, drunk, hungover, about to commit suicide, homicide, ruining your life, giving it up, throwing in the towel, God was thinking about you. And you're still alive because God's thinking about you. Proverbs 16, verse number 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, watch this, and thy thoughts shall be established. Your thinking will be straightened out if you commit your, listen to what it says, if you commit your works, your actions, the way God says to do it, in the word of God, in the light of scripture. Your thinking will change when you're starting to obey the very word of God. By the way, that's why people need preaching. I don't need preaching. Okay, that's why they're messed up. Look at them. 5, 10, 20, 30 years later, they're going to wish to God they stayed in the Hellfire and Damnation Baptist Church to hear the truth of the word of God. Do you realize we're nothing but sinners preaching to a bunch of sinners? We're nothing but a bunch of sinners and trying to encourage another bunch of sinners. You know what we are? We're just a bunch of sinners trying to have compassion on other sinners, ladies and gentlemen. That's all we are. Saved sinners trying to encourage one another. No one's better than anyone else. All we need to do is commit. Look what he says. Commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. The problem with your life is you. The problem with your life is your tongue, your mouth, your thoughts. If you change your mind, that's the word repent in the Bible. If you change your mind and change your thinking, your life will change completely. And how do you do it? How do I change my mind? How do I change my thought process? Doing what God said to do, obey the word of God. Thinking that the word of God is more important than anything else. I got news for you. Cults use the name of Jesus too. But they don't believe that King James Bible is the word of God. Let me repeat that. Cults use the name of Jesus, but they do not believe that the King James Bible is the word of God. You put into practice what God says in the word of God. I don't care how difficult you may think it is. I don't care how contrary you may think it is to how you grew up and what you believed. God will change your mind and God will change your thinking. When you conform to the word of God, your thoughts will change. And you say, you know what? God was thinking about me when I wasn't thinking about him. How many of us go back to the time we got saved, man? And we weren't even thinking about God. God was the furthest thing from our mind. And someone gave us a gospel tract. Somebody knocked on our door. Somebody invited us to church. Somebody took a Bible and opened it and said, you know what? I want you to know God cares about you. God loves you. He made you. He created you. He wants to reconcile you back to him. He doesn't want you to burn in hell for all eternity. He wants you to be saved. Jesus loved you so much that he came and died in your place so that you could be saved. I want you to know God cares about you this morning, right now. Whatever you're going through, God cares about you. You think nobody else knows, but God knows. It may not be big to somebody else, but it's big in your life. People may discount and say, that's a small thing. To you, it may be the biggest thing in your life. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Jesus said, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? He said, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? He said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. I mean, if God's going to take care of the lilies of the field, God's going to take care of you, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. God knows what's going on in your life. And God's the only one that can repair it and restore it. Amen. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You're so concerned and worried about what's going to happen next week and next. Jesus can come back today. We could die right now. All your worrying is in vain. God knows what's going on and God will take care of it. Amen. I have no idea what's going to happen nationally, internationally. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow in this church, in my life. I have no idea. But I know this much. God knows. And if God knows, that's good enough for me. Amen. My Bible says in Psalm 34, verse number 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. God's eyes are on the righteous, and his ears are open. All we need to do is go to the word of God, read what God says, and go to God in prayer, and God will reveal the answer for all our problems. He'll give us, he's the God of all comfort, the Bible says. You know, it's interesting. People don't want to hear about God or the Bible, but they want to hear something about God when it's a funeral. Huh? Yeah. I don't want to hear that Bible stuff, but they'll want some comfort when their husband or wife or son or daughter die. Huh? Remember, they're all in the ship there in Mark chapter number 4. And all of a sudden, the storms came up. The boat was rocking. The Bible says that Jesus was asleep on a pillow. And they come to him. This is what they say. Master, carest thou not that we perish? They're asking the God of eternity. Don't you care? You know what? They're just like you and I are. We got our eyes on our problems instead of our eyes on Jesus. And we're saying, we yell and say, God, don't you care? You know what Jesus said? He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? When you lash out and say, where's God when I needed him? Right here in the King James Bible. That you refuse to read. That you refuse to obey. That you refuse to follow. You say, where was God when I needed him the most? Right here, ladies and gentlemen. God cares. It's not God's fault that somebody else has lied to you and hoodwinked you and pushed you away from the only answer to your life. But God's still waiting with open arms, a long-suffering, patient God, because he cares for you. The Bible says in John 10 that the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Psalm 37 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That doesn't mean God's shouting orders how to work or live. God's word tells us how to order our steps in life. So the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Psalm 68, verse number 19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Do you realize we have blessings every single day that we don't realize that we have? Amen. The fact that you got up this morning, even thank God you woke up. You're not blind. It doesn't look like anybody's blind here this morning. Look like everybody walked in 2 feet. I mean, sometimes we have people that are blind that come, and sometimes we have people come in wheelchairs. I understand that. But the fact that you're alive, you didn't even thank God for the way God's blessed you. And we're all guilty of that. We're all guilty of that. My Bible says in Psalm 16, verse number 8, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. He said in Psalm 121, verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Turn to John chapter number 10, please. Two more passages will close. Can you believe it? John chapter number 10. The Gospel of John chapter number 10, verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice. Well, where's God's voice at? In the Word of God. Let me repeat that. In the Word of God. It's not going to be some audible voice that you hear. Listen to me good. My sheep hear my voice. That's the very Word of God. Look what he says. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. God loves you so much that when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he seals you for all eternity that you cannot lose your salvation. Amen. Try if you might, you can't lose your salvation. That's how much God, you know why? Because God cares more about you than you do. Mark chapter number 4, we'll close with this. Mark chapter number 4. The Gospel of Mark chapter number 4. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, verse number 6, that David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When everybody was against David and spake of stoning David, King David, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. Hey, when you get to the point you think nobody cares about you, pick up a King James Bible and start reading it. And you'll find out that God cares. Amen. Yeah. And let me tell you something. Most people may not care, but this church cares about people. And I'm thankful I go to a church. I'm thankful I'm a pastor of a church of people that care, amen? People care whether people are lost. People care whether people are hurting. Amen. We're not concerned about how much money people make. what neighborhood they live in, what kind of car they drive, what kind of job they have. Most people today only care about their money, their station in life, how much they can enjoy their lives. Mark chapter number 4, please. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4, verse number 14. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside when the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Now pay attention, verse number 19. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. There's a lot of people caught up in their sins as a direct result of not obeying the word of God. They're too busy doing everything else that chokes the word of God. As we started out this morning, the most important thing, God puts his word above all his name. Thou hast magnified thy word above all his name. You know why? Because you'll learn how much God cares about you by reading the word of God. We watch all kinds of videos and movies. We stream everything, you know. We pay attention to the news and gossip and talk shows and radio and television. We fill up our time with everything else except with what God says. And the pleasures of life. Look what it says. Look what it says. The cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word. And you don't think God cares about you. Hey, you and I ought to care about people. Why? Because God cares. And you hear people say flippantly, well, I don't care. Well, I want you to know something. God cares. Right. Yeah, but they deserve what they got. Maybe, but you deserve what you get. You should get too. Right. But God cares. We ought to try to reach everybody we possibly can wherever they're at in life. I don't care what their nationality is. I don't care what their ethnicity is. I don't care what their status is in America. I don't care what their color is. I don't care what their education is. I don't care what their intelligence is. We ought to have sympathy or empathy for everyone we possibly can. You know why? Because God cares. And too many people have told them, I don't care about you. I don't care what goes on. I don't care what happens to them. Well, I got news for you. God cares. God cares. Why should you want God to care about you and not want God to care about others? Why would you want God to care about what's going on in your life but don't care about God caring about what goes on in your enemy's life? I know how evil and wicked and nasty people can be. But God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, the Bible says. You know why? Because God cares about reconciling everybody back to him. Do you care? God cares. God cares. Let's all stand. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for caring. We thought nobody cared about us. Maybe we were down and out. Lord, it's only by your grace that we're alive today, we're in church today, that we're saved. It's only by your grace, Lord, that we haven't lost our sanity. Lord, it's only by your grace that we're not in jail, or prison, or dead. Lord, it's only by your grace, Lord, that we can love people that are unlovable. We can love people that are our own enemies. And not just say it flippantly, oh, I love you and pray for you, but really put it into practice, into action. Turn the other cheek and bless them that curse us. Only because you cared about us before we cared about you. You loved us before we loved you.
You were thinking about us before we thought about you. And yet today you're still thinking about us. When we don't even have you in all of our thoughts, we've put you far away. Your eyes are upon the righteous, the Bible says. Your ears are open to their cry. And so, dear God, when we get to the point we think nobody cares, let us remember that you care. Bless these dear folks, Lord. Meet their burdens. Meet their needs. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you do business with God. God's people praying.